It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCbizradio.com. This show, Mind Your Business, is all about you, and we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all around the world in various industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Before we open the show, I want to give a special thank you to last week's guest, Julia Waller of Strategic Coach. She is an expert on unique ability. Fascinating subject. In case you missed it, that podcast is available. You just go to the iTunes store, Mind Your Business. The easiest way, actually, is to go to the website of this particular radio show, WABCbizradio.com. WABCbizradio.com. Actually, all the previous shows are available. The one with Jeffrey Hazlett, the one with Peter Shankman, the one with Captain Sully Sullenberger. It's all there. You can easily access it by going to WABCbizradio.com. Scroll down on the homepage, and you will see the particular guest that you would like to listen to. And just click on it, and it goes right to the iTunes store. Also, special thank you to the show's producer, Pesach Tropper. Thank you, Meira Bauman, the content creator, Srilly Saflis, who handles video and photo production and a lot of technical aspects for this particular program. Everyone here at Bottom Line plays a special role in the production of this particular program. Again, before we get to our guest, I also want to mention the special offer that Julia Waller and the team at Strategic Coach is offering. Two free copies of the Unique Ability 2.0 Discovery Book. All you have to do is send a text message to 66866, the word bottom line, as one word, bottom line 66866, and you're automatically entered to win one of two free copies of the Unique Ability 2.0 Discovery Book. With that, we are now going to go to our very, very special guest this evening, and that is Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, business strategy and marketing consultant, motivational speaker, and worldwide persona. Some background about a very distinguished guest. Rabbi Ginsberg is an award-winning entrepreneur, columnist, lecturer, and consultant. He's actually a consultant for a number of Fortune 500 companies. Rabbi Ginsberg is a columnist for many national magazines and newspapers, including Entrepreneur, Jerusalem Post, Hamodia, and others. Rabbi Ginsberg was named, actually, this is fascinating, Entrepreneur Magazine has a special award, the Top 10 Entrepreneur of the Year, and he received one of those awards. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're guaranteed to walk away with real takeaways on determining your business's goals, maintaining peak performance, and also we're going to discuss the online presence of your business. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg. Rabbi Ginsberg, how are you?
Hello, hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. Well, it's our treat. It really is a special treat. We actually wanted to interview you a while back. You travel around the world. Not that easy to get you in studio, but we really appreciate making the time for us here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you.
Now, as a Hasidic Jew and with all the regalia, how does being an Orthodox rabbi affect building your corporate personal brand?
Well, I obviously look very different than the average person, the average consultant, the average person walking down the street in Manhattan, for example. Mm-hmm. And I find it quite fascinating. In some ways, people look at me and they think, well, this guy's going to help me in my business. He looks like he belongs in Fiddler on the Roof. But then on the other side, if you have 35 people walking through your door, 34 of them look the exact same. They're sort of all clones of each other. One guy comes in with a big wide-brimmed black hat and long beard, he sort of captures your attention. And if he can say something smart, and if he can say something that'll help you in your business, then you're open and you remember who that was, and you hope that they can help you further.
So that's a great point. Now, I'm not going to say it's using a disadvantage to an advantage, because it's not a disadvantage by any means. It's your uniqueness to your advantage.
I once went into a meeting with an executive at a major European bank, and his name was Marcus. And I came to the meeting, and I went to the what I thought was the correct room, and I knocked, and the guy looks at me and pulls out his wallet. And I was like in a split second, like sort of God gave me the inspiration. I said, is there another Marcus here? He's like, yeah, further down the hall. And then I got to the right Marcus and I had a wonderful meeting. But sometimes my look can sometimes give people the wrong impression about what I might be doing there.
Wow. Now, Rabbi Ginsburg, you're a worldwide persona. I've seen you on many major news media outlets. You've been covered in the New York Times, Cranes, Fox Business. You give guidance to Fortune 500 companies, have spoken for them. Can you give us a little background? Tell us your story a little bit.
Well, I'm glad to know that this is going to be a 30-hour marathon session of WABC Biz Radio. Because that's... I'll try.
Okay, yes.
Okay. When I was a kid, I was one of the first... I was the generation basically growing up on the computer when the Macintosh came out. And I knew the word quit before I knew the word close. I didn't know what the word revert meant. I just knew that if you click on it, then your painting goes back to the original way it was. And so I was sort of that generation that sort of grew up when computers were at home. No internet yet, but just having a computer. No hard disk either. Mm-hmm. Floppy disk.
Right.
You'd open the computer, you'd see a little disk with a question mark in it, and you had to stick a disk in, otherwise the computer didn't do anything. At that point, there was something called shareware. Shareware meant that you would create a piece of software. You wouldn't have to sell it. You would basically put it out. This is when the internet just started. And you could put it out there, and it was sort of on the honor system. If people liked what you created, they would pay you. If not, you were supposed to throw it out. So, being a kid and being fascinated by this idea that people would share their stuff, at that point also computer magazines had just started giving like discs or CDs along with the magazine. And I was fascinated by this idea. And I'm a PC guy. Okay. I shouldn't say that on the air. But I was once a big Mac guy. I grew up on the Macintosh. And what I realized was that there's a program on the Macintosh. I'm not going to be too technical, don't worry.
Okay.
There's a program for the Macintosh called Graphic Converter, written by a German guy named Lemke or something. Mm-hmm. And I realized that when you transfer an image from a JPEG to a GIF or a GIF,
right,
then it actually gives you a thumbnail of the image as the icon of the converted image.
Okay.
At the time, every folder was a picture of a folder, every document was a picture of a document with a folded corner, and every application was a picture of a diamond shape with a man with a hand with a pencil in it. That's pretty much it. And when I realized that by changing a format of a graphic, I can get a thumbnail, I realized that these are basically custom icons. So I basically got a free collection of like royalty-free clip art, picked from it 100 images that I thought were really nice, transferred them from one kind of graphic to format to another simply to get the image, prettied up that image a little bit, created a shadow for the image, did some technical stuff to it, and then put out there, I called it the Cuckoo, K-U-K-U, the Cuckoo Icon Collection. And I put it out there. If you like it, pay me. If not, throw it out. But I wanted it to look professional. So I did two things that basically, without knowing what I was doing exactly, I did two interesting things. One is, instead of the regular share, which is either throw it out or pay me, I wrote either throw it out or pay me, but if you pay me, I'll send you 250 more.
Wow.
That was number one. Wow. Number two was, I felt that the order form looked a little bit nebby. Is nebby English, by the way?
Yeah.
It looked a little nebby. So what I did was, in the order form, I put name, address, and then I put license type. $10 for a home license, $35 for a site license.
Brilliant. You just added that.
I only did that because I felt it would make the order form look better somehow. I didn't know what I was doing exactly. And I would get $10 checks. I never heard of Guam till I got a check from Guam. I didn't know there was such a thing as an agnostic till I got a check from a company called Agnostic Associates. And another interesting thing that happened was that I was in camp in the summer. I went to the Catskill Mountains. I was in camp.
Right.
My parents were in Israel. My brother came to visit me on visiting day. He brought along my mail, bags of mail full of checks. At the time, I lived in Flatbush. I used the Dime Savings Bank, which is now Washington Mutual, in the corner of Coney Island Avenue and Avenue J. And I basically took all the checks that came in. I took an envelope. I wrote in it, the Dime Savings Bank, corner Avenue J and Coney Island Avenue. I had no idea the address or anything like that. Sent them the checks, and they put them in. And especially as a teenager, lots of $10 checks added up to really nice canteen money.
That's right.
But something else interesting happened. One time, I opened an envelope, and it's from a guy named Michael Spittler. Michael, if you're listening, send me a message. My email, just look at my website.
That's Isamar,
Issamar.
Okay.
Michael, I owe you one because you at the time worked for the Newton division of Apple Computer and you were the guy who signed the check that Apple Computer wanted a site license, got a site license to my icons. And at that point, I realized, you know what, you could be a Hasidic kid going to a Jewish school, and you could be dressed however you want, you could do it, you could be your own thing, and yet if you have something of value, computers and the internet is changing the way the world works, and you can really go very far with no degree, no nothing. As long as you have actual value to deliver, you can go anywhere. And when I got that $35 check from Apple, which incidentally lets me have better, you know, clients that have paid me more than Apple, but it's certainly cool to say I had Apple as
right
a licensing step for me when I was still a, you know, schnook, I found that to be eye-opening. So first of all, the two different options taught me in business in general, and this is something I do with clients all the time, is always have to give options. Would you like a drink? Yes or no. Would you like coffee or tea? Whichever one you order, the waitress is happy because her tip just got bumped up by a certain percentage of whatever mm-hmm. your drink cost. But simply by giving the options, you've created more value because the two options, you don't care what they answer. The different options, either one is fine. Pay me 10, pay me 35. But by giving you options, I've reduced the chances of the answer being no and the answer being one of the yeses. Was that clear enough about what I just said?
Yes. Yeah. And I just want to go back to something you said a couple of minutes ago, which is so beautiful and so important, actually, to the listeners of Mind Your Business, because we do have many small business owners, entrepreneurs, etc. The idea about dreaming big or dreaming big—that's one—and also that the a great prospect and potential can come from an unexpected source and can come out of the blue. But of course, you ran with it, meaning you obviously took that aha moment. And then also converted on it and realized that you know, it's not just that there was more than the actual value of that check from Apple. It was the concept of the check from Apple.
No question. It's what, 25 years later, I still remember the guy's name.
Right.
I looked him up on LinkedIn once. You know, just to
right.
We're not connected. And I didn't right. send him a message, but I'm saying I actually am out there and I still have sort of a good feeling. So he had right. no idea I was 13 years old.
Right.
Sure.
Unbelievable.
Which leads me to
yes.
something else in a similar vein, which is one of my claims to fame, at least in the world in general, but mm-hmm. in the Jewish community in particular, is that I spoke at Google.
Right.
And that's like a big wow. How did you do that? So some people, you know, especially more skeptical, you took a picture of yourself standing at the sign. No, I actually did speak there. And not only that, but you can't even for free, you can't just call up and say, hi, I want to speak. What happens is they have to actually reach out to you. How did I get to Google?
Right.
So I spoke at an event for the Israeli Translation Association, which is like the industry, translation industry association in Israel for translators. Somebody who attended that speech is a professor of language or something like that. And she had spoken at Google, and she had told her contact at Google to have this guy, meaning me, come mm-hmm. speak. By the time I got to Google, the guy who had introduced me, mm-hmm. The person who worked at Google who had arranged my meeting was no longer there, or not at least in that division
right.
or whatever.
Right.
But ultimately, that's how I got to Google. Now, once I got to Google, there's a picture which has been in, you know, different newspaper, different media outlets of me basically standing at the entrance of Google with the Google in the background, and I actually remember that picture being taken. And I remember thinking to myself, even if I flop, even if this is the worst lecture I ever give, to the people in this room it's certainly going to matter, and to me it's going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the people who are going to see this picture going forward from today, they won't ever know right. that this might have been a flop.
Right.
And as far as they're concerned, and the truth is I lectured to Google, and once I did that, I'm obviously qualified to help them as well. Which leads to the topic of basking in reflected glory, which is another very interesting,
right.
fascinating topic, which every business owner from small to big can find very valuable, which is the following. If you follow a sports team
mm-hmm.
and your team wins, what do you say? We won.
Yeah, yes.
And if your team loses, you don't say we lost, you say they lost. What, a bunch of morons can't kick a ball or hit a ball? It's not my problem. People bask in reflected glory that when something is done successfully, they want to consider themselves a part of that success. When something happens not so successfully, people distance themselves from that failure. So many people, you know, may hire someone because if he spoke at Google or if he did that, then by dealing with him, I'm sort of touching the second level of those big names which I dream I would be part of.
Now, okay, so on that point, how important and how critical is it for a business to then re-leverage those big moments?
Especially in today's day and age, with again, the world becoming flatter and flatter, people living, being anywhere and doing whatever they want to do for a living, it becomes very, very important to understand the power of using what you do in as many forms as possible. Mm-hmm. That means that, one example I give, which is maybe a simple example, but something some people say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I never thought of that, is most people have in their email sent box tons of content that they've written to a specific client or a potential client to explain something. Mm-hmm. And every time they have to do that, they pretty much go back, they either type it again from scratch, or they go, you can take all that stuff and repurpose it and reuse it in so many ways, which will save you a whole lot of time and let you do the best possible, get the best possible, the optimal one that worked the best, to use that one over and over.
Yeah, so now, on that point, that's actually a great point, because leveraging content, that's also true, and also the concept about leveraging a great moment.
Right.
Because if you were standing by Google, that's 100%, wow.
100%. I can't tell you how many clients I've come across that have done amazing things,
right,
but have not thought about actually being able to prove that those things happened.
I mean, as a marketer, I'm just like, that's like, hello?
I'm sitting here in your studio, and I better get a picture from one of your staff of myself sitting here at this mic, because this picture will be leveraged, besides the fact that I'm here and it's obviously valuable and so on, but the picture of myself being here will be seen by people, and that in and of itself has a value.
Right.
You know, right. I once was at an event, and I was supposed to give a breakout session at the event, and I told the guy, I said, you know what? I want to speak from the main stage. He's like, but the main stage is packed. I said, look, I'm going to do my session, but give me 5 minutes on the main stage.
I love it.
Because
I
need to go to your conference, not for business.
That's right.
I want to come to your conference because I want that picture of myself on the main stage. And actually today, got that picture in my email. I've been pressing for a while to get it to send it. I got it today.
Congratulations. We have so much more to cover. We're going to take a short commercial break. But before I do, what tips can you give the audience on public speaking? I'm sorry if I can catch you just...
First of all...
You're so qualified in so many areas.
First major piece of advice is you won't die.
You know what? I just said this goes back. The listeners of Mind Your Business know. They've heard that. Jeffrey Hazlett. He talks about... He actually has it in his book.
He's actually a friend of mine.
Really? So Think Big. I spoke with him today. Also, we've connected. Incredible individual. And actually will be on the show next week.
I know him from still when he was chief marketing officer at Kodak.
At Kodak. I'll send him your best, but he's going to be on with Tom White next week. We were on the show, and we were talking about...
Make sure you mention my name on the show next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
See, guys, I'm explaining to you how you leverage these things.
Right? Remember at the beginning of the show, I thanked Julia Waller. She was the guest last week. So he said when you're about to do something pretty ambitious, and you're about to leap in, maybe even leap before you look, he says... Keep in mind that if, let's say, things go awry, first thing is, nobody died. That's just the way he said it. He said, nobody died. You know, so therefore, you know, if someone's going to embark on something that's a little bit of a scary venture, whatever the case is, obviously he does his homework, whatever the case is. But then, like you mentioned, so that's a great point. You're going to get up there and speak. Nobody, meaning, terrified, but...
Then I want to get to the next point about public speaking, besides you won't die, which is a nice short little saying. But the next important thing about public speaking is the following. When you speak publicly, you are the media. We just had the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is essentially, if you think about it, it's a game where in the usual circumstances, people are watching the game, and there's actually a study that was done about how many flushes happen.
Yeah, right, by halftime.
And you see the water spiking chart.
Right,
it's incredible.
Sure, because
but actually, the Super Bowl is the opposite of the usual, which is if someone's going to run out, they're going to run out during the game to make sure they don't miss the ads. The ads.
Right, and we had a special show on that.
So when a person speaks, they have to realize they are the media. Instead of necessarily spending your money putting in an ad in the newspaper, you're putting your kishkes, you're putting yourself, you are the media. Instead of a person listening to the radio and running during the commercial break to do what he got to do and then come back, he's actually listening to you because you are the media as opposed to the
great
sponsor,
point.
which he's forced to hear in order to continue because that's what pays the bills.
Great point. So therefore that a person has to be cognizant of that and therefore realize they're performing when someone's public speaking.
Right, which leads to my third point before you go to commercial break, which is as bad as you'll do, you'll get someone.
Wow.
There'll always be someone. As bad as you think you might do, as long as you're providing value, there'll always be someone. I once in my life that I can remember did an event, which I was surprised, didn't lead to anyone. I got no clients. It was a small event, true, but I didn't get any clients out of it. And then I got three things out of it. I actually mentioned in my column this week. One thing I got out of it was a Christian Science Monitor article because the reporter had come to the event. The next one is a doctor to the, let's call it, a doctor to one of Europe's monarchs, I can't be more specific than that, became my client from that because he had seen that there was an event which he wasn't able to attend, but that's how he got to me.
Wow.
And then the topic of that particular lecture was something different than my usual topic, but out of that, the recording of that lecture, I ended up having transcribed and turned into a book, which those three things that wouldn't have happened to have that
Amazing.
Lecture, and that was my one failed lecture.
That was, wow. The voice that you hear is that of Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, he wears many hats, literally.
One, a black one.
One, okay, a black one. But he's out there in the corporate world, a consultant, public speaker, published author. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business show here on 77 WABC.
The key to success as a business leader comes from the company you keep. Smart leaders tap into the knowledge of their successful friends and top thought leaders so they can keep on top. The C-Suite Conference is the place where you can meet top leaders from the most successful companies. Find out how they are achieving market-leading success and learn from the world's top thought leaders what's coming so you are prepared. If you are a leader of a growth company, ask for your invitation today. Go to csuiteconference.com for more information.
Best Payroll delivers the affordable payroll solutions you need so that you could focus on your business. Today's payroll laws are complicated and constantly changing. Why should you have to worry about keeping yourself up to date with these details when you can rely on Best Payroll's fully bonded tax service to take care of it for you? Best Payroll has been managing the payroll needs of small to mid-sized companies across the country since 1989. Their experienced and dedicated professionals are committed to providing you with cost-effective payroll management solutions. Why spend your time, money, and effort handling your business's payroll when you could rely on Best Payroll to get the job done right at a price you can't beat? To learn more what Best Payroll can do for your company, dial 347-729-2355. That's 347-729-2355. Or visit bestpayroll.net. That's bestpayroll.net. Best Payroll, the experienced payroll professionals.
And we're back here on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business show. Before we get back to our incredible guest, wanted to remind the audience about our special offer that we have this evening. If you text 66866, you'll automatically be entered to win one of two free copies of Julia Waller's new book, The Unique Ability 2.0 Discovery. It's an incredible book. In fact, you could even hear the interview that I had with her, which took place last week. You can go to wabcbizradio.com, wabcbizradio.com, or if you go to iTunes, you type in Mind Your Business, and that interview will be one of the episodes on a very long list of episodes from all our previous shows. But again, to be entered to win this book, the word bottom line has to be one word. Text it to 66866, and you'll automatically be entered to win that incredible package. And it's a package because it's a book along with a notebook, with a workbook. It's a pretty incredible package, all about unique ability. We're here with Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, and let's go back to the questions that we have prepared for you. Over the years, you've run into many, many individuals. Would you care to, or is this a question you'd rather take a pass on the person that intrigued you most, or persons that you've been intrigued with most, or is it just that everyone is intriguing in their own way, your own unique ability? How would you want to tackle that?
That's an interesting question. If I were to decide that I was going to go very deep and do marketing for lawyers for a certain, or marketing for dentists, or marketing for a certain subspecialty in law, international adoptions, I could probably make, I feel funny saying this on the air, I could probably make a lot more money than I'm making. I mean, Baruch Hashem, right, doing well, but I'd be very bored because I'd be dealing with the same thing again and again. They say the worst day of a dentist or a podiatrist or any person's life like that is after he goes through all the school and he finally gets, and the first day, and he's at the end of the first day on the job, he says, is that what I just did? I spent all these years, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be looking at people's mouths all day. So I very much enjoy what I do because I'm involved in so many different things, and you know, before I came into this interview today, I just had two meetings before this, mm-hmm. since this morning. I mm-hmm. had a nephew's wedding last night, which I came at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Mazel tov.
Thank you. But this morning I had two meetings so far, and my two meetings were, the first one was with a, basically an artist who does, I would say a photographer, but more likely is to say an artist slash photographer who mm-hmm. understands the uniqueness of their pictures and how their art, and how their competition is not other photographers. Their competition is the guy who's going to put art on the wall, and would they rather put a $5,000 piece of art on the wall or a $5,000 picture on the wall of their family?
Fascinating.
Either the past, you know, Italy a couple hundred years ago, or the future of their family or whatever. And understanding how the different men...
Right.
We each have right. different buckets of how we spend our money. The money we make in a tax return, in a refund...
Mm-hmm.
is spent very differently than the money that we work for hour by hour. Because it's in a different mental bucket in our head. We earn it differently. We feel it's free. We spend it differently. That was one meeting. The next meeting was, I think, four or five guys who came from... the main guy who flew in from California for the meeting. It was a meeting for a nonprofit organization in California. And just the difference between those two different people, mm-hmm. those two different, you know, those different consultations, and how many different things I can help them with, and how the different things I learn on the job simply from hearing what mm-hmm. they have to say, and all the different things that they're doing, it really helps me grow. I mean, I love what I do because I can learn on the job, and I can take things from one industry to another. I mean, the famous example is drive-throughs, drive-through pharmacy, drive-through bank, drive-through
right.
restaurant,
right.
So I very much enjoy taking things from one industry to another. So as far as who I find fascinating,
okay.
or what I find fascinating,
wow,
really everyone's fascinating. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I had a guy come to me. It's always weird to me when I have a client who's above my father's age, because I feel sort of
okay.
like, there's a famous thing called the imposter syndrome, which means that a person never feels that they're really competent at what they do. The biggest heart surgeon in Cornell, ultimately, nothing personal to you if you're listening. You ultimately,
he might be listening.
That's right. Ultimately, you feel when you go to sleep at night, you tell your wife, oh my gosh, if they would have known how close I was to losing that patient today, they wouldn't give me the respect that they do. Yeah. I'm not really as good as they think I am. Mm-hmm. But imposter syndrome is actually the reverse of what people think, which is the more qualified you are, the more you feel like an imposter what you do, which wow. is very fascinating. Wow. But where I was going with this was...
Right. As far as the most fascinating person you ever met.
So I had a guy come to me who basically says, listen... I saw one of your television interviews. I'm really impressed. I want you to help me become an expert at risk management. I'm like, risk management? What experience do you have in risk management? This is a long time ago. It's
right.
fascinating to me, not because of who he is specifically, but because of what the experience taught me.
Right.
Risk management. He says, listen, I'm not telling you what I did till now. All I can tell you is there's nothing to do with risk management. But it's something I think I would be good at, and I want you to help me get there. I said, okay, I can help you get there. You know, But
that's amazing.
It would be a little help. He refused to tell me anything about him. What I did get out of him, a couple of interesting pieces of information, was that his wife, for example, is the boss of Bibi Netanyahu's wife, just as an example.
Wow.
So you find
right.
the interesting little connections.
Yeah.
But after a half hour or three quarters of an hour, I was able to somewhat help him with a strategy for how to move forward. I said, do me a favor, just for my own, just for curiosity, what did you do till now? He tells me, I'll tell you. He softened up a little. He said, I'll tell you. I was one of the first people to... do computerized employee testing for theft. So let's say you have a business. You have a, let's say Walmart, for example. Walmart, mm-hmm. Walmart hires tons of employees. The question is, if employees, some of them will steal, unfortunately, and how can I reduce the amount of theft that my employees steal? Mm-hmm. So he was one of the pioneers of computerized testing, which basically you'd give the applicant, a bunch of questions to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And based on those answers, you try to predict if they were likely
wow.
to steal or not.
Wow.
So how do major companies decide if this stuff really works or if it's just
right.
Bubba Mises?
Right.
So what they do is they test it. They say, okay, we'll take half the potential applicants, we'll give
right.
them a test.
There's a test.
Half we won't.
Control
and let's
you.
See. And believe it or not, he tells me, the applicants that did not, that I said would steal,
right.
basically, the applicants, we had a 10,000% decrease or 10,000% increase between the people who we knew wouldn't steal and the other people, 10,000%, and they started using my tests all over. They used them in the Gap. They used them, he gave me a bunch of, you know,
right,
major
list.
Pharmacy chains. He gave
mm-hmm.
me a list of chains.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want to explain to you something. You came to me and you said I had nothing in my background that I could use going forward. And you want me to start from scratch doing risk management. I said, did you realize that you just gave me a true, honest backstory which helps me tremendously and help you go forward? For the last 30 years, I've been involved, and I was one of the pioneers of computerized testing, right. computerized testing right. for employees. And that led me to understand that you can control a business using, you know, using certain computerized functions and using certain testing to actually increase a business's profits and reduce mm-hmm. theft. Instead of working on the micro aspect of employee theft, now I'm going top down, managing risk in the entire company. I've worked with major brand, right. I've worked with The Gap, I've right. done this, I've done that. Once I had that backstory, I created a website for the guy. You know, again, I'm not bottom line design. I don't make these major websites, but we just put together a quick WordPress site just to get it going.
Right.
And LinkedIn profile. And then once that profile was written, we reached out to some of the top companies that he wanted to work for. And within 2 weeks, he had meetings scheduled with a major insurance company, wow. one of the largest banks. Wow. And I got him wow. in the door because he wasn't some new guy trying to do something new. He had 20, 30 years of experience of something which had a natural progression up to what he Amazing. Did now. So is that particular guy fascinating? Right. No, but he comes to mind to me now. It's fascinating because of the way I was able to help him and the way that helped me help so many others because of that.
Amazing. By the way, I want to thank you publicly. The Mind of Business, the listeners of Mind Your Business have an appreciation. You actually were instrumental in us landing Peter Shankman as a guest here and got a lot of traffic. In fact, in case you missed the show, of course, it's available by going to Mind Your WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. And actually on the site, there is also a link. You scroll down, you'll see the YouTube clip of the video, the highlight video of that show. It's available.
So Peter Shankman's a good friend of mine. I actually was one of the early on a member of a site, before it was even a site,
right.
helped a reporter.
Right, Harrow, right.
Harrow. And what's interesting was that I once by mistake spammed my entire list of people who had come off Harrow. And it was after like 2 days of not sleeping. And my first major interaction with him was actually him being very rightfully so mad
right,
at me.
Right, right, pretty upset.
And since then we've become good friends. He was actually in Israel recently, and I was the one, Peter, I'm sorry for saying this on the air, who wrote the Hebrew. He doesn't speak Hebrew. I was the one who transliterated for him in Hebrew the beginning of his speech he was giving there.
Wow.
He's explaining why he's speaking in English, not in Hebrew. So we've become really good friends.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I've been to his house.
That's amazing. There's so much that we could really talk about, and that's why we're going to be a little bit all over the place because your background, your talent, your skill.
I advise the listeners yeah. at WABCBizRadio.com
yeah.
to make sure to email the producer here and let them know that they should have me back at least once a month. Guys.
Monthly.
Monthly. Pesach, what do you say?
I'm in.
It's up to you, listeners. Do you want me or not?
You see that? He's a great. We should really talk about sales as well. But before we get to sales, let's talk about a business that's starting out. And let's talk about the business plan, the marketing plan. Could you give a little bit of a perspective? If you guide a starting business, what's the first step? Is it a business plan? Is it a marketing plan? Is it funding? Can you kind of walk through the process?
All of the traditional business types who are listening to this show, you are invited to turn off the radio right now and ignore it for the next like 30 seconds, go do something else, then come back. Business plans are very useful when you have to show them to a bank to get funding. I don't believe that any business plan probably ever actually worked out according to the business plan, either in the targets that you set or the money that you'd need or the type of business that you'd go into, because businesses have to pivot as they see what's really
right.
out there.
Right.
Business plans sound very nice. Jump in. Don't worry so much about the business plan. I don't find the business plan to be particularly valuable. Many people, they're like, okay, I'm in business. What do you do? I do X. I'm in real estate. What defines him as doing that? He has a business card. He has a logo. Maybe even has a domain name. And that's it. Does he have any clients? No. Did he ever have a single client? No. Are you really in business? You know, wake up and smell the coffee. Business plan is not where it's at. You have a good idea, run with it, try to test it. Now, I do not advise, that does not mean I'm advising in the slightest. Oh, you have a good idea? Good. Go order from China 35 containers of it. And if it doesn't work, you just lost every penny you ever had plus a whole lot more. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, for example, get some samples, let's say. Let's say the samples cost you $20 each to make. Sell them at $5 each.
Right.
Because it's not about how much money you're going to make on these things. If you can prove that the concept works, then you can go and order a container of it. It's not about making money now. It's about proving that your concept is viable. It's about taking it forward. Once you see you can be successful, then take the big step. You'll do it with much more confidence, and the funding will be there because you can prove that this product actually has demand out there.
Wow, fascinating. So my understanding is
that... all of you who just came back after not being here for the last 60 seconds, welcome back to WABCBizRadio.com.
By the way, in doing my research on our incredible guest, Rabbi Ismael Ginsberg, we noticed that sometimes you play the role of VC, venture capitalist, or at least advise VCs. So now, coming full circle, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, if let's say someone does not have a business plan, how are they presenting to a VC?
Warren Buffett always says that he doesn't, when he decides if he's going to invest in a company in a couple of minutes, you know.
Right.
Now, one said, that's funny, like, what do you mean? How could that really be true? That doesn't sound right, especially from a guy who's supposed to be number crunching and
right.
So on and so forth.
Right.
For the most part, and this is, everyone sort of knows this and has heard this over and over, maybe I'll say it slightly from a different angle, which will make a different, you know, which will make a different impression or a stronger impression. Ultimately, when you invest in a company, you're investing in people. As I said before, businesses pivot, things change. When you're investing in a company, you're looking at this guy and you're thinking, can I trust this guy with my money? Is this guy going to make good on his promise right. to actually give me something back? It's not about what the guy's idea is. Ideas are a dime a dozen. If you want any good ideas, go to Twitter, type in quotation marks, somebody should invent, and hit enter. You'll get a list of ideas from just a stream of guys, wow. from a million people, everything wow. that everyone wanted to invent. And if you're in a specific industry, someone should invent, then the word baby outside of the quotation marks. There's tons of ideas out there what to invent and how to invent. That's not where it is. It's wow. it's just not. And people like to pretend it is, but it's totally not.
So
it's
you would say, so you would say before someone is going to look for a VC or whatever, they should prepare themselves to make the greatest presentation of their life.
Yeah, so here's a couple of tips for that. Number one is borrow, beg, or steal. Well, don't steal.
No,
cancel.
You're on the radio.
I know.
Okay.
Borrow, beg, or borrow. How's that? Okay. Borrow, beg, or borrow $1,000. Put it in your back pocket. Cash.
Okay.
And then go to the interview. Then go to the meeting.
Okay.
When you have $1,000 in your pocket, you have a bounce in your step that you wouldn't have otherwise.
That's fascinating.
It's just
incredible
like people.
Incredible advice.
And it's really embarrassing to say this, but like, you know, there are people who, before they go into a business meeting, they're in the elevator. It's a little harder today than it used to be because there's
right.
cameras all over.
Right.
They'll do a little jig in the elevator. They'll right. dance a little. They'll give themselves a little energy. And we're all embarrassed to admit we do these things. But listen, you know, telemarketers know. You smile while you dial. If you ever want to have a better business meeting, by the way, stick a pen in your mouth for a couple of seconds, or pencil. Not somebody else's, please. Put it in your mouth for a couple of seconds, which forces your mouth to go into a smile, which then makes you happier, which then means when you speak to the person, it's going to make you that much better. There's tons of, you know, again, that's a whole marathon.
That's great. But that's why we have you here.
Okay, but when it comes to actually having that meeting, number one is you want to have money on you, so you have a certain bounce in your step. Even though you're not planning to use it, as you go to that meeting and you pass a jewelry store, you pass a travel agent, whatever, you know that if you really, really wanted to, you could walk in here right now and say, hi, I'd like a ticket to Acapulco. You know you can do that because you have the money on you. It's very hard to think big and to be excited when you're thinking small because you don't have any money on you.
Would you recommend, and this is such great advice, again, I imagine we will get quite some feedback saying, get this rabbi back on the air, Rabbi Ismael Ginsberg. We want to hear him again because in 1 hour's time, how much are we going to cover already? But again, in case you're...
I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah. I speak fast. We're covering 2 hours in 1 hour.
Oh, this is great. In case you just tuned in, whether you turned it off a couple of minutes ago...
Shame on you for not tuning in earlier. Next time, be on time. WABCBizRadio.com.
But great news. Great news. There is such a thing called iTunes. On the iTunes channel, this episode will be up within 2-3 days after the actual airing.
If you're a couple of weeks later, this is going to be the episode with the highest ranking.
With the most bars. There you go. You could easily access it by going to WABCBizRadio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. I also want to just clarify, Rabbi Ginsberg was one of the, what was that award from the Entrepreneur?
I write for Entrepreneur magazine.
Okay.
My award was actually from the competition, Inc. magazine.
Wow.
Inc. INC, like incorporated?
Inc. magazine.
Inc. magazine.
That's okay. So thank you for that clarification. You've said, and I quote you, hiring smart is the only way worth hiring. What qualities should a businessman, should a team, a company look for in hiring and building a great team?
Okay. I think that people like to hire people like themselves.
Okay.
That's terrible because you are yourself. You need someone who's the opposite of you. As an example, mm-hmm. I have a guy that works for me, the guy who schedules my appointments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He is a good friend of mine, still from my yeshiva days, but ultimately he's an opposite of me. He is Mr. Organized. He is, and I am totally not. Believe me, it's set on my calendar. I have to be at the studio here. I'm here. But if I had to schedule it myself, it wouldn't happen because it just...
Okay.
I can certainly say, and Yehuda, if you're listening, please do not ask for a raise after you listen to this, but I can certainly say that I'm probably twice as productive since hiring him than I was before. Wow. Because I have somebody doing that part. But I'm saying, if he had the same skills as me, it wouldn't be good. And the other major problem people hire is yes men. Oy.
Right.
Yes men is the worst thing.
Because you're not going to get ahead. You're not going to get, there's no chadadin. Yeah, there's
so
no,
I have a client who is a, he's an attorney by training.
Okay.
And he's in a very, he has a very unique niche. He advises widows. Hmm. What does that mean? It means there's some rich guy who had a lot of money, and his wife used to go to the mall every day, go shopping, do whatever she did, volunteer in the hospital, I don't know what. And one day, at the age of 80-something or 70-something, unfortunately, the husband passed away, and suddenly there's a business here. Wife doesn't know the first thing about the business. So she, one side of her wants to just sell the business. Mm-hmm. One side, but she has the, you know, the manager. Mm-hmm. There's a million people involved. The problem is the manager has one interest. He doesn't want the company to be sold because then his job's at risk.
Right.
So everyone is basically out for themselves.
Right.
So he comes in and he says, I am loyal to you, the business owner, and only to you, and I will give you the right guidance to help you do your thing, mm-hmm. not be a yes man, right. not tell you what's in it for me.
Right.
How did he get into this line of work? Interestingly enough, he had a friend, he's a lawyer, he had a friend who was a judge, and what happened was that there was a company that had, that the judge basically involved him in that case, which was ongoing, to help him say mm-hmm. what to do. Mm-hmm. And he realized this is a major, important, untapped market to help these people. How did this come about? There was a woman whose husband, as I said before, had a business. The business, he passed away or got sick. And she sold the business. And she moved to Florida to her condo. And 2 years later, the sheriff showed up with a marshal and said, you've been evicted. She's like, what are you talking about? Well, it seemed that her husband had gotten a piece of equipment for his business,
okay.
and had given this condo as collateral.
Wow.
When they sold the business, it didn't come up. This condo in Florida didn't come up. She sold the business.
And it went in default.
And that piece of equipment went in default, a major piece, you know, $10 million, what's some yeah. major piece of equipment,
yeah, yeah.
and she lost her condo. And at that point, he realized someone has to be out there to watch those yeah. poor little old ladies,
wow.
nothing personal against, you know,
right,
who are in this situation, and that is his thing. It's very, very important. Anyone who you hire who's going to tell you what you want to hear is doing you a terrible, terrible disservice. And sometimes people hire me and I tell them things that they don't want to hear, and I'd rather tell them things they want to hear, but you know, I say, look, you're paying me to be candid with you.
Right.
I think that you've just wasted, I had this last night, you've wasted $200,000 on the app.
So one second,
it's a waste of money.
You were at a wedding last night.
What happened was like this.
Okay.
I have a client.
Sorry to put you on the spot. I mean,
yeah,
just
what happened was like this. I have
keeping
a client,
track. Yeah.
A new client. I never met him before. I mean,
okay.
even though he told me that he once met me in an airport
okay.
because I invited him into the lounge. And he said, no, I could thank you. You know, I can get in myself.
Okay.
But he came with me at the wedding last night, and I had 2 weeks ago a phone consultation with him. And at the wedding, just like a couple of minutes, so when we were on the call,
right.
it was the whole team on the call.
Gotcha.
At the wedding, I had just him without
right,
the whole team.
Right, right.
And he's like, I flushed the money down the drain, right? I'm like, yeah, I think so. But the biggest problem people have is people can't admit that they did something that was unsuccessful. They can't pull the plug on something. They throw good money after bad. Again, everyone has a self-interest in mind.
Thing.
And you yeah. have to have somebody be honest to you. You have to be honest yeah. with yourself. Otherwise,
you know, it's very interesting. You know Mark Bodner?
Sure.
Yeah, so Mark is a good friend, a client here at Bottom Line. He has a great quote. He says, when you negotiate with yourself, you win.
Very nice. Very good.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you talked about yourself and Yehuda. Of course, Yehuda deserves a shout out because he helped coordinate this this great interview. And this brings to mind last week's guest, Julia Waller. We talked about the Colby test. We talked about the test from Gallup, the StrengthsFinder, Tom Rath. I want to get him on the air one day. You know, there's other tests, the Myers-Briggs. There's many other tests.
The short answer is like this.
Yeah.
If you say,
you
okay,
that?
I am an ENTP, and now for the rest okay. of my life, I am boxed in by this term. There's two kinds. There's people who are entrepreneurs by nature. There are people who are work for somebody else by nature. And by the way, I believe the reason why an entrepreneur deserves to get paid more than a person who works for somebody else is not because something wrong with working for somebody else at all. It's simply because you work for somebody else, you work from, let's say, 9 to 5. When you're an entrepreneur, you're working 24 hours. And therefore, simply speaking, because you're being paid by hour, you deserve to make a whole lot more because you're working many more hours. But there are entrepreneurs, there are people who work for other people, and they are accidental workers and accidental entrepreneurs. So there's a guy who wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. The guy wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to work for somebody else. He works for somebody else. He works in a shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years later, his boss decides he wants to retire. He ends up buying the shoe store. And then 3 years later, the shoe store across town comes up for sale or something, mm-hmm. and he ends up with two shoe stores. He's 65. He's got a chain of shoe stores. He may be very successful. He may ultimately be seen by the street as an entrepreneur, but he's not really an entrepreneur in the sense that he went out there and did something entrepreneurial. His path ended up taking him, entrepreneurially speaking, to something very entrepreneurial. And the same thing is true in reverse, which leads me to an interesting point, mm-hmm. which is, when you try to sell something to somebody, there's different words that you should be using based on who you're talking to. So, for example, LinkedIn is amazing at helping you do this.
Okay.
Let's give an example. You're trying to sell a piece of software to the CEO of a bank. Mm-hmm. By looking at his LinkedIn profile, I can tell you how to sell to him. What do I mean by that? If his profile says 5 years at Washington Mutual, then 5 years with Bank of America, then 5 years with Capital One, and now he's the CEO of mm-hmm. Bank ABC, mm-hmm. So then I know that this person has taken risks in life. He's jumped from company to company to take advantage of different opportunities that came his way. By the way, one of my quotes that I like, it's not my own, but I don't know where I heard it from, is the opportunity of a lifetime comes by once a week.
I love it.
So he basically took advantage of opportunities as they came along, as evidenced by the fact that he jumped from bank to bank. Even though he's always been in banking, he's a banker by nature, mm-hmm. he is an entrepreneurial style banker. Now, if I look at his LinkedIn profile and it says he started as a teller and then he became a desk thing and then he became a branch manager and then he became a VP. I don't know what, and then he became I don't know what, and then he became ultimately to the position he's in today, that tells me this guy's a don't rock the boat guy. Now, if I'm trying to sell him software, if I'm selling to the first guy who's an entrepreneurial guy, I'm going to tell him, this software is incredible. First of all, it's going to shave 7 seconds of every ATM transaction, which means your customers are going to like you more. They're going to see a difference. They're going to appreciate a difference. You're going to be able to advertise our ATM, spit out money faster than anybody else's. You'll be able to milk that opportunity. You'll be able to do a lot with it. Now, if I'm selling it to the second guy, to the guy who's never rocked the boat, I'm going to be like, look, this will save you on the back end $32 million a year in transaction costs because of the way the software works, so on and so forth. We'll do it on a Saturday night. It'll be up by Monday morning. Your customers will never, ever know there's any change. Because him I have to appeal to, I'll save you money, but I won't rock the boat. No one's going to notice. It's going to be everything the exact same, except for the fact that you're going to make money in the back end. If I tell you it's going to be different, it's going to transform it, you're telling me words that are traif. Haram in Arabic.
Right.
It's forbidden. It's not what you want to tell them. You have to basically understand what your client is like in order to increase the possibility of a sale, not move
because
away
because you're talking to him.
Don't overshoot.
Unbelievable. The voice that you hear is that of Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, a noted business consultant for Fortune 500 companies, travels throughout the world speaking to audiences. What's the largest audience you've ever addressed?
Well, now that I'm being put on the spot live on the air...
My
biggest live audience I've ever addressed was probably 1,800 people.
Nice.
Oh, okay. I was worried that that was too little.
Nice.
Yeah, 1,800 people.
That's nice. That's nice.
And yes? I will ask anyone who hires me in the future to please give me either a lectern that's I don't need a lectern, but a table, something that's flat, because that speech I had like a slant, and I had no place to put down a cup of water. And it was really hard to give that long of a speech in front of that kind of crowd without having a drink.
You're tuned to a great edition of Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break and then wrap up an incredible show. Yes, Rabbi Ginsberg?
After we come back from the break, I want to talk about Bluma.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about Bluma
afterwards.
Stay tuned. You're tuned again to WABCBizRadio.com.
With Yitzchak Saflos.
Thank you.
Best Payroll delivers the affordable payroll solutions you need so that you could focus on your business. Today's payroll laws are complicated and constantly changing. Why should you have to worry about keeping yourself up to date with these details when you can rely on Best Payroll's fully bonded tax service to take care of it for you? Best Payroll has been managing the payroll needs of small to mid-sized companies across the country since 1989. Their experienced and dedicated professionals are committed to providing you with cost-effective payroll management solutions. Why spend your time, money, and effort handling your business's payroll when you could rely on Best Payroll to get the job done right at a price you can't beat? To learn more what Best Payroll can do for your company, dial 347-729-2355. That's 347-729-2355. Or visit bestpayroll.net. That's bestpayroll.net. Best Payroll, the experienced payroll professionals.
The key to success as a business leader comes from the company you keep. Smart leaders tap into the knowledge of their successful friends and top thought leaders so they can keep on top. The C-Suite Conference is the place where you can meet top leaders from the most successful companies. Find out how they are achieving market-leading success and learn from the world's top thought leaders what's coming so you are prepared. If you are a leader of a growth company, ask for your invitation today. Go to csuiteconference.com for more information.
And you're tuned to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC, and we have a very, very special guest in studio, Rabbi Issachar Ginzburg, he has so many accolades, but a noted speaker, worldwide, international consultant for many companies.
And a good friend.
And a good friend, okay. and that is most important, because you see the way he interacts with people, the love, the friendship, the knowledge, and anyone that's been tuned in for the last 45 minutes or so is getting a real taste of the power of his brain. By the way, if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Before I answer that question, there's a saying mm-hmm. which means when you give someone a gift, you have to let them know you gave them a gift.
Okay.
Now, because the people listening are actually listening in the comfort of their own home, car, whatever,
right,
they don't necessarily appreciate that the information I've shared here. Really, I know it's hard to believe because you didn't pay for it, and people tend to equate what they got with how much they paid for it. You've really, really, really gotten a tremendous amount here. And I know I speak fast. I think even if you're listening to this live, you should go to the ABC Radio website.
Yeah.
You should listen to forget the other recordings. Yes. Listen, don't listen. That's not my problem. Listen to
hey,
this
Jeffrey's
one again
be on
because
your back.
Jeffrey, okay, we'll be okay. But listen to it again because you will hear additional insights when you listen to it again,
right.
And you already have heard the end of it before the beginning, which means you'll be able to right. appreciate the insights differently.
There's
a tremendous amount being shared here, and really things. Even if you have not a penny in your pocket, even $1,000 to borrow, you can really take what I've said here, practically speaking,
yes,
and really turn it into a business.
I once
did a column for the Jerusalem Post about UFAC. UFAC is Uniform Franchise Offering Circular,
mm-hmm.
which means anyone that opens a franchise has to give someone that wants to buy that franchise, a potential franchisee, that circular.
Right.
Now, if you go to the Department of the State of California, Department of State website, any franchise which is offered in the State of California has to have the document there, as they have to have with every attorney general in every
right,
state.
Right.
But the State of California has actually a live searchable database of UFACs, which means if you go there, you want to open a burger joint, you want to open a gym, whatever, there's millions of dollars worth of free research done by the companies who have to disclose everything they've done,
wow.
which you can get free for the taking. You can basically, I once wrote this as a column, and somebody told me, Rabbi Issachar, I think you're meshuggah, I think you're crazy.
Right.
I can turn that
away.
Column into a business. I can
right.
charge people $500
right. with that knowledge, with that research.
Yeah. So,
wow. Great point. And how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, so how do people get in touch with me? My first name is Issachar, Issamar, and here's the time to give my shout-out to my parents. Thank you for not naming me Moses, because to get the name Moses.com or Moshe.com would have been really hard. Since I have a unique first name, Issachar, Issamar, I was able to get my own domain name, Issachar.com, and my email address is rabbiissachar@gmail.com, or my website is Issachar.com, or my other email, the professional one, which forwards to Gmail,
right.
is my first name, Issachar, Issamar, at YisraelMergen.com.
Now, before we get to the final question of our show, you mentioned that you wanted to mention something.
Okay. I want to mention two things,
mm-hmm.
Which these two things, I believe, change any business.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about them, use them. I'm going to cover them quickly, but you can Google them. You can look up more information on them, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One is the woman named Bluma. We all owe her a debt of gratitude. Her name was Bluma Zigarnik. She lived in Russia. I believe she was in about the 1950s. And she proved something we all know, which is people like to finish what they start.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that if you have a collection of baseball cards and you have most of the cards, you want to finish the set. If you collect stamps, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a series of books and you have volume 1, 2, and 3 and volume 4 comes out, you feel you must have volume 4 because you want to finish the series. So by the way, for those of you who do not have line, Yitzhak Saflis' amazing book,
thank you.
Should know that when he prints the next edition, on the spine, it's going to have a number 1, so that when number 2 comes out, all the people who have number 1 are going to feel obligated to have number 2, because you don't want to have an orphan sitting on your shelf. The Zygarnik effect works in many ways. One of the ways it works is that when you read an article, you want to read from the beginning to the end, even if the end is not so interesting. There's something called reverse funnel writing. If there's an earthquake in Australia, then you'll read the article in the New York Times. It'll say it was an earthquake in Australia, da-da-da-da.
Right, page.
And then at the end, it says, can you go to page B2? You go to page B2. The last two sentences, last two paragraphs are going to say, the last major earthquake in Australia occurred 132 years ago where 42 people died.
Right.
What's that got to do with it? The answer is that if 10 minutes before they go to print, they need more space on the homepage to write, you know, so-and-so right. assassinated, God forbid, or right. something, right. then what they have to do is they have to be able to quickly delete stuff that nobody will notice. Because it works in the Zygarnik effect, we read from the beginning to the end. Make a long story short, you want to use the Zygarnik effect in your business. So instead of saying the content you want to say, and then at the end giving a plug, you want to make the information that you want to share in and of itself part of what you're discussing. Google the word Bloomer Zygarnik, very useful in many, many forms of your business, both when you speak to people, both in the way you market. Everything is all Zygarnik is something that can transform a business. The other major, major thing that I found to transform both my own business when I started and many, many of my clients' businesses is testimonials. Get them and use them. Not on a page on your website that you have to click through three sub-menus to get to. Give me some testimonials on the homepage. Give me something that hits home without my having to scroll above the fold, as it's called. Give me good testimonials. How do you get testimonials? Write them yourself. Oh, my God, the FTC is going to... I didn't say write them yourself and make them fake. When I have a client that gives me a good testimonial, I say, do me a favor. Can I get that from you as a testimonial? And since people are lazy by nature, what I'll do is I'll write it for them, email it to them, and then I'll write the blurb that I'd like, which is based on what they said, and I'll say, feel free to use as is, tweak as you wish, or write your own. But just by doing that, I get that much more. I mean, I don't do that today so much anymore, because thank God I have tons of them.
So many.
But just having them really, really helped me, both as far as new clients seeing the testimonies and believing in them, and on the other side, the people who wrote the testimonials, because of an amazing book called Influence by Robert Cialdini, which I recommend everybody get and read, because of that book, because of the way consistency works, the person who gives you the testimonial, separate from the testimonial, even if the testimonial is never used, is more likely to personally refer you other business or themselves use you in the future.
Amazing. Rabbi Ginsburg, in the remaining minute or so that we have, any final takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Listen to this show a second time.
You know, that's very, very smart advice, and I've heard people say that. And by the way, Pesach, join me here for a second. I mean, he's not kidding. What'd you think of the show?
Off the charts. We're really
off
excited.
The charts. Off the charts. Well, and just in case you're tuning in right now, again, John Batchelor is up next here on 77 WABC. Tune in again next Sunday night for a great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.